Foot with great local programming on Sunrise from the Center on WRCE.
It is morning show time, community conversation here on The Morning Show from WRCO and WRCE. Joining us live via the phone today, talking about the upcoming 61st annual Badger Steam and Gas Engine Show, is Pete Holzman. Pete, are you excited about this year's show?
Yeah, I'm always excited about the show. It just seems that it gets more fun every year, but the other problem is that every year it gets here, I'm a year older, so I'm not convinced at all that good.
you're a long-time volunteer for this. Why do you feel this is important? Do you remember why you first got involved?
Well, it's a good club that we all get along and work together to put on a show, and everybody seems to have a spot that they're comfortable in, and so you just get yourself a place and just move along with everybody else. It's a real cooperative effort. There's nobody gets a salary for anything. It's all volunteer.
I know last year you had a successful show. I believe it was Alice Chalmers, the featured tractor last year, wasn't it?
Yeah, we had a very successful show last year, and a family from Richland Center area, Durst family, was heavily involved with the Alice Chalmers stuff. They brought a lot of tractors and gave us a lot of support in the area of Alice Chalmers.
Yeah, I'm not surprised there, that's for sure. We switch over to J.I. Case Machinery this year, and I'm guessing they have quite a following too, right?
Yeah, J.I. Case was originally manufactured in Racine, Wisconsin, and they still have a presence down there, and they are, well, in the days, 40s and 50s, transportation wasn't as what it is today, so tractors that were made in Racine oftentimes got sold in Wisconsin because it was just that much easier to transport and get parts and everything else.
So they will be featured, and their club comes in this year. Do they get special places where those tractors and those implements are going to be shown then, Pete?
Oh, yeah. We have the feature building, which will feature anything Case, a lot of different stuff there. The Heritage, Case Heritage Foundation, they call themselves. Now, they've never been at our show before. We've had Case, but never this particular group, and supposedly, I don't know, but you hear that they have a whole lot of historical stuff that relates to the early days of Case when they were heavily in steam tractors, and a lot of their early stuff is supposedly going to be at the show, so we'll find out what they bring. Whatever it is, I'm sure we'll put it on display and enjoy it.
It's the 61st show, as we said at the outset, Pete, and I'm guessing if you go back all those years, now we're looking at a lot of tractors that'll be at the show that weren't even made when this show started in Baraboo.
you're right there. We got a lot of 50s and 60s tractors, which don't seem that long ago, but actually, if they're built in 1950, they're 70 years old. Is that right?
Yeah. Amazing.
Funny how that happens.
Oh, I know it. And what I find sometimes is I'll see a tractor that I think, well, that's fairly modern, and I find out it's like 60 years old. You know, how can that be?
Yeah, right. But if you look at the tractors that were made in the teens and the 20s, one of the tractors that we're going to have there is a 4570. Very rare Case tractor, was built in the teens, and they made less than 50 of them, but they're just a huge, huge, clumsy gasoline tractor that it's just the comparison to that, to even to one that was built in the 40s, is just astounding, the difference in them and how quickly the agriculture evolved into more manageable and more useful tractors.
Yeah, it's amazing to look at some big machine like that, and all of a sudden you realize, well, that's only like 20-some horse. You'd figure it was a bigger tractor than that, right?
Yeah. They were bigger horses, though. They had Clydesdales back then.
Yeah, that's very true. Well, let's talk a little bit about the steam engines then. Is there still a pretty lively group that brings those and supports those?
Oh, yeah. They are very, very active. And this year, the club is trying to get one model of every horsepower rating of the steam tractors, the steam engines that were made. So they're starting with the very smallest case steam tractor, right on up to the 110 horse. So they're going to have a lot of steam tractors there. And a lot of those were built, you know, in the teens. So when they're out there moving around and doing stuff, you're looking at a piece of history that's well over 100 years old getting around.
I know we kind of sound like old fellers, but, you know, it's hard to imagine anything being made today that's going to be still around running in 100 years, Pete. Right?
Yeah, I don't know. Well, just I hope I'm around to see it.
Oh yeah, me too. lots of miniatures too, right? You have all kinds of different displays there.
Oh yeah, many, many. Lots and lots of exhibitors. We have 1,000 exhibitor plaques that we give a person that has a exhibit at the show, and they register, they get a plaque. And it's just a little 3x4 piece of brass with a name and date on it. But with 1,000 of them ready to give out to exhibitors, we might have a few left at the end. But we give out close to 1,000 to exhibitors each year. So that's a lot of exhibitors.
It surely is. Blacksmithing, you featured that in the past. Are you going to again this year?
Oh, yeah, there's a blacksmith shop, permanent building there with blacksmiths making various items during the show. They have their forges working and the hammers and the anvils, and they are always willing to talk. You stop and ask them, how do you weld a piece of iron just by putting two pieces in the forge and getting them a certain temperature and pound them together? And they weld. It's quite a talent that blacksmiths have.
Yeah, definitely a lost art. Why do you think it's important for this generation, the new generation, to see these kind of things in action?
Well, it's not taught in any school that I know of. And it as a demonstration, it's a whole lot different than reading it in a book. If the guy is standing there and he's got this piece of iron and a hammer, and he's going to make it into a step for a buggy or whatever, and you see how it's done and how much patience it takes and how much skill, it is impressive, and hopefully people realize how it was done and why it was done. So, yeah, it's just good for people, even anybody, to stop and take a look and see how things were done.
Will you have vintage cars and trucks this year, Pete?
Yeah, we're going to have vintage. Well, right now we have two very vintage case cars, and I guess they're expecting a couple more. Not many people realize that Case built a car, and they built a truck and tried to sell them with their dealers, but we have two of them in the display building now, and the others will be out on the line with whatever shows up. We never know what cars are going to be there and what trucks and who's going to participate. It's always a guessing game, I guess. But, yeah, we have quite a few cars and trucks.
I had no idea that Case made cars and trucks. Any idea of the vintage, how old they are?
I looked at the two that are there, and one of them is from 1914, and the other one is from 1916, I believe. So, yeah.
No wonder I've never heard of them. They are very rare, aren't they?
Yeah, they are. But these two actually come from Wisconsin, so I guess I don't know. I didn't know there were that many. I guess there's more case cars around than what I know of, but I just don't travel in that circles where they travel, that's for sure.
Tell me about your flea market, because that's another big drawing card, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, the flea market. That's, 300 vendors, something like that. Covers a lot of area, and it is varied. It's not just machinery, cast iron items. It's not just any particular thing. And if you can't find it at the flea market, chances are it doesn't exist in Wisconsin. There's everything from toys to tools to lamps, antiques of all kinds, and just a whole lot of stuff, garden tractor stuff. I don't know. You've just got to walk through there and decide what you're going to look for and just keep walking, because you got a long ways to go.
And a lot of times it's the thrill of the find, isn't it?
I hope so.
Mm-hmm. I think a lot of people look at it that way.
Yeah, it's got to be here someplace. We just got to keep looking.
Right. and the food is outstanding. Can you tell us about the food and the vendors that will be there?
Yeah, we're going to have several food vendors and reasonable prices. Several church groups have food tents there, and some youth groups have food tents there. We try to get local people and to be the food providers, if you call them that, and we do look for them. I know there's one group, I think it's three churches are together, maybe four, and they have a large stand, and with three or four working together, it isn't so hard on one particular group. So, yeah, they do a lot of food and a lot of variation in the food. It's not just burgers and brats. There's lots of other stuff going on in the food department, too.
Maybe even some homemade pie. You never know, right?
Yeah, I know. The homemade pies and homemade desserts, they are definitely part of the show. And a good part of the show.
Do you have live music this year?
Yeah, there's going to be bands all 3 days in the food court area there. They're going to just local talent, but good talent and enjoyable. So I don't know the names of any of them that are coming this year, but I'm sure they'll be there.
Awesome. I know that's a big part of it, too, walking around and hearing the music. It's just a kind of a great festival atmosphere, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a family thing. You know, you can bring the kids. There's room for a walk around and not get in anybody's way. And your kids can look at stuff and wonder what in the world that is. And if the guy is standing there that has the display, he'll be more than happy to explain a whole lot about it. So it's just very educational in that way.
What is music to your ears when you're walking around there? Is there a particular engine or tractor or anything like that that really still gets you excited about it, Pete?
Well, yeah, I enjoy all of them, but the early gas tractors, and we do have quite a few of what they call the prairie tractors that are, they're just big, 20, 30 tons, and they have a one-cylinder, two-cylinder, a couple of them have four-cylinder engines in them, and they just motor along like they did when they were brand new. And it's just enjoyable to see them for me.
You'll be seeing some farming things as well. You're going to be having some threshing and things like that going on as well?
Yeah, threshing will be there with a steam engine running the threshing machine. Sawmill, there again, the there's two sawmills, one probably maybe even more than that when they get the people that come in, but we have two official club, I guess you call them, sawmills, one in a big building, that's the Big Hug Mill. They usually have two steamers hooked to that sawing lumber, and then the other one is a band mill that was around the Baraboo area, I guess, most of its life. And at one time, it was water-powered on a creek or a stream in the hills in Baraboo. And that was later on, I'm told, that the Ringling Brothers Circus used it to saw lumber to make their wagons. And I don't know the story of how it got to our grounds, but it's got wooden, 7-foot wooden wheels that the band goes around. And it's a pretty impressive piece of machinery. Almost antique tractor, a steam engine running the, powering the band. And it's pretty much manual labor. There's not a whole lot of hydraulics or anything involved in it. It's all, you move the log by hand, you set it up and you saw it, and then you move it again. So it's a very early American piece of machinery.
There are a lot of units that I see there that I wonder, how do they actually get them there logistically? I mean, it's some of those things are huge.
Yeah, we have the electric power plant from Lone Rock, and they changed over their electrical system, and we went down there and asked them if they would leave the, if we could get one of the engines, and they, I think they just graciously donated it to us if we got it out of their building without destroying everything. And that's up there, and that'll be running. That's a 2-cylinder Fairbanks Morse generating engine. And that, I think, weighs in the neighborhood of 30 tons, so 30,000 pounds. I'll take that back, 15 tons. That was a major move in itself, and club members, a couple of our club members have heavy-duty equipment. They're road contractors, and they graciously donate their time and their machinery and patience to deal with us guys that aren't quite exact in how we move heavy equipment. So it's a club effort. Every piece of that machinery is.
How many are in your club?
I have been told we have 900 members.
Oh, wow.
But a lot of those members are from other states. And, you know, you see them at the shows, but that's about it. They want to be members. They want to be part of the group. So, but the volunteers, the actual volunteers that come and spend a lot of time at the showgrounds are probably 100, 150 members that come in and donate their time at the time of the show. So it's a cooperative effort.
It's a huge undertaking, that's for sure. And are you seeing some younger members of the club?
Oh, yeah. Everybody's younger than I am.
Well, I'm just wondering about the enthusiasts, though, that like this stuff. Are you seeing, like, younger people getting involved in showing things?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's definitely true. And it's interesting that I was talking to a couple of the members, and I explained to them, it seems like we've got a group of people that are freshly retired and looking for things to do, so they come and work at the show more than ever. Of course, now they've got the time. And the guy says to me, he says, younger and retired. No, that's okay. Yeah, but we do have a group of younger people, and they are very enthusiastic members, and as it does help a lot. Our board now is comprised of a lot of, well, there's two or three people on there that are under 50, and And that's a good age group because they've got a lot of enthusiasm and they're really willing to have a good idea or a new idea and willing to work with it and make the show better.
Badger Steam and Gas Engine Show admission price just $10. That's very reasonable with children 12 and under free with an adult. Again, that's a lot of entertainment for not a lot of money, Pete.
Yeah, you get your money's worth the first hour. The rest of the day is free.
Yeah, there you go.
But one thing I can't forget to mention is that this year, veterans and retired vets, anybody with military service, is getting free admission on Sunday, the 18th. That's for any veterans. And hopefully we'll have a good group of people that come in because there's no price, you know, just come on in and enjoy the show.
What about personal units if somebody has a motorized vehicle?
Good question. Yeah, we have, you can bring a golf cart, and I think it's $20 to bring it on the grounds and use it for the day. And it has to be no larger than 6 feet wide and 10 feet long. So we're trying to keep with the golf cart size stuff, but the big SUV or UTVs, as they call them, we're not going to allow those in because they're just too big and too clumsy and there's too many pedestrians. But the smaller stuff, if it's less than 6 feet wide and less than 10 feet long, you can register and bring them in and enjoy the show with them.
Can you still register for a camping site?
Exhibitors, yeah. If you have an exhibit and you want to camp there, I don't know. I'm guessing, this is probably wrong, but I think it's $40 for the 5 days of camping in our primitive campground, which is a pretty good deal. It's no electricity, no water, but we do have showers and running water at the restroom area there, so it's not bad. It's a good deal for exhibitors to come and bring their exhibit and bring their camping gear and get a site. We have 300 campsites there, so there's a room for a lot of people.
Yeah, it really sounds like it. Well, anything else you'd like to add today, Pete?
Oh, what would I like to add? Bring us good weather.
We're trying. It looks actually pretty good. The slight chance on Friday and then Saturday and Sunday look pretty good.
Good. And bring a smile. We don't like grumpy people. we try to be happy and hope that you are too. And we really enjoy what we do and we enjoy sharing it with a lot of people. So, yeah, come on out and look for a day of fun and spend the whole day. It's nothing. Once you get in, it's all free unless you want to buy food or something. But there's no charge to visit the blacksmith shop or no charge to visit the woodworking or the miniature farm. We have a miniature farm set up there for the kids and for other people that have to look and say, how do you put so much stuff together so nicely?
Right. Well, we can't help but smile when we see all the things going on there. Pete, always a pleasure to talk to you, and here's to a good show this weekend.
Thank you, and I hope that things go well, and maybe we'll see you there.
Yeah, we'll see if we can make it. Yeah,
okay.
We'll talk to you next August about it again, okay?
I hope I'm here.
Okay. All right. Peter Holzman joining us, talking about the Badger Steam and Gas Engine Show coming up in Baraboo this very weekend. It's the 61st show featuring J.I. Case Machinery. We'll have more on The Morning Show in just a moment. On our morning show from WRCO. We're going to switch gears now and go in the other direction. We're talking about Blue River's Autumn Fest, which will be happening not this weekend, but next weekend. And here in the morning show studios with me today is Justin Degenhart, who is the fire chief for Blue River. And how are things going for you?
Good.
You're flying solo this morning.
I am. We've had some unforeseen circumstances with a couple other gentlemen, so I'm here by myself today.
They got called away.
Yeah, they did.
Duty calls. Well, you're looking forward to Autumn Fest, and looking at your calendar of events, Justin, I think this is going to be maybe bigger and better this year, isn't it?
It is. It's jam-packed, and we've added a couple things, and things have gotten switched around from day to day, and it should be fairly busy.
It's busy putting this all together, though, isn't it?
It is. It is very busy getting it put together. We actually started with our order stuff beginning of this week, end of last week. I was on the phone yesterday with a gentleman getting stuff coordinated to come together with the tractor pull. It starts not just the weekend. It's a couple weeks ahead of time.
So we've got a little time to prepare, and you've got some events going on beginning Friday night with a men's fast pitch. Are you all full up, or could you use some teams?
As far as I know, they were sitting at 9 teams looking for 10. The 10th team was on the fence, but the way it sounded to me the last I've heard, they were going to be full at 10 teams. So that'll be good there. They've tried to do a couple other teams, get it like 11, 12, and then they end up starting on Thursday, and a few of our teams come out of Illinois and out into Iowa all the way, so they spend the weekend here. So it's a little hard to start on Thursday and get that with other teams not being able to be here. But this year, the village raised some money, and we completely redid the infield. So it's all level now. The bases will be all reset, so they'll be playing on a completely new field.
That'll be excellent. I think of Blue River and fast pitch softball. That goes back a long time, doesn't it?
It does. It's been there for years. I was talking to a gentleman Saturday while we were working on the field who umped and played in the 60s there. And it was on, he said, the fence wasn't here, but the field's the same. It's always been there, just like that.
Same location.
Yep.
Once in a while, you've taken a hit with some flooding. Did you have any problems this year or not?
We got a few ponds in the outfield, but nothing major. The field usually is the only thing that ends up really getting water in it. None of the buildings do. Since the firemen raised the one building that we serve our chicken out of, that hasn't had any water in it since.
That's good. Yep. So let's talk about Friday night then. What are some other events going on, Justin?
So we have our euchre tournament starting at 7 o'clock, and that's always, well, it's been there probably the last 10 years. It's gets bigger and bigger every year. That little shelter is usually pretty full of gentlemen playing euchre. That's, like I say, that starts at 7 o'clock in the shelter in the park. Then we have our water fights under the lights, which that's been a staple here for the last about 8 years. And we've been drawing anywhere from 10 to 15 teams. We usually have a couple gentlemen that come down from up around the Marshfield area every, I don't know why, but they come every year. And then Friday night, last year we had high mileage on Friday night in the park. This year we're not able to do that Friday night, so we thought, well, we'll have some more music. So we've got Roddy Dahl playing in the park shelter, probably right in front of where they're playing euchre.
Okay. So Roddy will be there Friday night starting at 7. Let me ask you about the water fights. Is that going to involve some other area departments then as well?
It does. It's a whoever shows up type deal. I mean, we've gone to some where it was two departments showed up. Everybody gets busy during the day, but usually on a Friday night, I won't be able to be there this year. I have my son playing football that night, home against Ithaca, so
oh, yeah.
I kind of got to go to that game.
Priorities, I guess, there. Yeah. For family comes first.
Yep.
Well, so what are the secrets to a good water fighter? Do you have any tips, though?
He's got to have good hand-eye coordination and be able to stay upright.
I was going
to
say.
Hold on to that hose and stay upright.
Not get washed away.
Stay tuned for the second half of today's morning show program on Sunrise from the Center on WRCE. Coming up, though, in just a moment, we'll have a look at today's news.
Many people aren't aware that Richland County has an organization similar to Big Brothers Big Sisters. For 35 years, Kinship of Richland County has made hundreds of matches between carefully screened adults and local children who need some extra attention. I'm Michelle Nolan-Karras, the director of Kinship. Occasionally, relationships don't work out, but it's amazing how often they do. Having a mentor can improve a child's self-confidence and help them succeed at school and in life. The mentor benefits from these matches, too. Often they last for years and continue into adulthood. If you would like to become a volunteer or refer a child, please contact us at 608-475-2886 or email us at kinshiprc@gmail.com.
Watch a short video where I go through the different sizes
donations
of LS tractors to fit your needs. Learn about the full line of LS tractors at Southern Wisconsin Tractor Experts, the Homesteader Store.
Both calves and slaughter cows were steady at this past Wednesday's sale at the Mathis Farms Auction Market in Biola. The Better Holstein bull calves sold up to $6.10. Beef grass-fed calves, $800 and down, with the 6- to 70-pound lightweight calves selling from $250 to $340. With the lack of the big fleshy beef cows, we saw the bulk of the slaughter cows sell from $1.05 to $1.22. We had a few big fleshy open Holstein heifers. They sold from $151 to $160. The Jersey cows, $50 to $80. A few 400-pound black and red steers sold from $280 to $330, and some 760-pound red crossbred steers at $220. Today's feeder sale, while we don't expect quite as many cattle as the last sale, we do expect a good run of Holstein steers. County fair time will soon be here. Be sure to get out and support the youth at the county's beef animal sales. A lot of the funds they receive will go towards their continuing education. Contact Darren, Colt, or Jim at the Mathis Farms Auction Market in Biola for all of your livestock marketing needs.
The people at your Touchstone Energy Cooperative wear many hats. Your customer service rep might also coach at the local middle school. Or some of our line workers are also volunteer firefighters. It's true. We take pride in serving our members. That's why you'll find us helping out in our community. Because we not only work here, we live here.
Richland Electric Cooperative is your Touchstone Energy Cooperative, your source for power and information.
WRCO 100.9 FM, Richland Center.
News Time Today is sponsored by Computer Connections Y-Connect Wireless, bringing high-speed internet to rural communities, and by Boscobel Pharmacy and Center Pharmacy, your full-service pharmacies, caring for you and about you. Also by BL Signs for all your business signage needs. Well, there could be some rain today. The rain in the forecast for about middle of the afternoon today, at a high in the low 80s expected. Currently in Richland Center, we're at 69 degrees.
BL Signs of Richland Center has grown significantly, helping other businesses grow. In the last decade, businesses of all sizes have trusted the team at BL Signs, from developing ideas to get started to creation, installation, and reliable service afterward. BL Signs' promise of projects done well, done on time, and done on budget comes with the experience and knowledge to turn your sign into one of your most important investments. Visit BL Signs of Richland Center online at blsignage.com.
From the Civic Media News Desk, I am Phil Nee. Here is what you need to know. Following an incident Monday afternoon at Foremost Farms in Richland Center, officials confirm there are no threats to the public following mitigation efforts and ongoing monitoring. The incident involved the release of water treatment chemicals from the plant boiler, which entered the storm drain and flowed to a tributary of the Pine River. The flow did not reach the Pine River, and water samples taken upstream, downstream, and in the tributary tested at normal levels. The cooperative appreciates the agencies for their partnership to develop and quickly implement the successful mitigation plan, including Richland County Emergency Management, the State DNR, Vernon County Hazmat, the Richland Center Fire Department, and City Utilities. The situation is under control this week, and there are no threats or hazards to the public, wildlife, livestock, or entertainment. H5 bird flu is widespread in wild birds worldwide and is causing outbreaks in poultry and U.S. dairy cows, with several recent human cases in U.S. dairy and poultry workers. While the current public health risk is low, the CDC is watching the situation carefully and working with states to monitor people with animal exposures. Many county fairs are also monitoring the situation to judge whether they will allow lactating dairy cattle on the grounds. Richland County Fair officials made a decision Thursday to not allow them. Lyrica Marks is the Richland County Fair and Recycling Coordinator.
We've been trying to focus on how to limit the spread of it. And it's been up for debate whether or not we were going to allow lactating dairy cattle at the fair this year or not. And it has been decided that we will not be allowing them at the fair this year, just for safety reasons.
However, the Richland County Fair will offer a virtual dairy event.
We will have our superintendent of the dairy cattle going around with a photographer to take pictures of each person's animal that they want to show to allow them to still be able to partake in that and allow all of the people who are coming to the fair for those reasons to still have that to enjoy.
Dairy exhibitors may also enter a substitute.
If one of our exhibitors did sign up to have a lactating dairy cattle, we will allow them to substitute another animal so they still have that experience to show. But we just wanted to make sure that everybody was aware. If anybody was particularly wanting to come to see those, we want them to know that they will still be able to see them in a way, but that they will not be there in person for safety reasons.
The decision to not allow exhibits of this nature pertains to lactating dairy cattle only.
If it's lactating beef cattle, we will still allow them. If it's a dry cattle, then we will still allow it, specifically the lactating dairy cattle.
Those wishing to make a substitution for their lactating dairy entry are required to contact the Richland County Fair office by this Tuesday. All remaining cows to be exhibited at the Richland County Fair will need to be brought to the fairground Wednesday, September 4th, between 10 and 4. Oshkosh schools are not adopting the new federal rules for transgender kids in local schools. The city's school district Wednesday night was deadlocked on the rules, which extend protection to trans kids, but would also require more training and even changing the rules for field trips. Oshkosh Schools Director of Business Services says the decision could cost the district millions of dollars, but the district's lawyer says the chances of that happening are small. The Oshkosh board could take another look at the rules in the future. Vice President Kamala Harris will be back in Wisconsin next week during the second day of the Democratic National Convention in Chicago. Harris will travel to Milwaukee for a campaign event at Fiserv Forum. Earlier this week, Milwaukee Mayor Cavalier Johnson said that shows Harris is not taking any votes for granted and wants to have a good showing and contrast the style between what a Harris presidency would be versus what a second Donald Trump term would be. This will be Harris's seventh visit to Wisconsin this year and her third since assuming her party's presidential candidacy. If you're having trouble finding a hotel for the NFL draft in Green Bay, the EAA is opening its campground in Oshkosh. Green Bay is hosting the 2025 NFL draft April 24th through the 26th of next year, and Camp Scholar campsites will be available from April 19th through the 29th. A three-night minimum stay is required at $175 per night. Beginning today, campsites may be reserved through the EAA website. Also, a reminder from WRCO Radio that in just a moment we'll check out details on weather. It looks like there could be some rain in the forecast again today, but after that, a pretty promising weekend. Details in just a moment.
It's internet for everyone from Why Connect Wireless. Why Connect Wireless provides high-speed internet to rural communities throughout southwest Wisconsin with options for unlimited internet with no contract required so you can stream all your favorites. Catch the local broadcast with a professionally installed TV antenna. Call 524-1579 today and ask how to save with bundle packages or visit WIWC.net for details. Why Connect Wireless?
A high temperature today will reach the low 80s, warm and muggy with scattered showers and thunderstorms likely, especially by afternoon. Southwest winds 5 to 12 miles per hour turning westerly. Tonight, maybe a shower or thunderstorm early, variable clouds and a low of 63. A few breaks of sun tomorrow, isolated showers still possible, a high of 77. For Sunday, partly cloudy and seasonal, a high of 80. In Richland Center, yesterday, 74 degrees. We did get a bit of precipitation. All total in the rain amounts from the night before, nearly 3/10 of an inch. We did receive 16 one-hundredths yesterday. Currently in Richland Center, barometer steady at 29.79 after an early the morning reading of 72. We're at 69 degrees.
Reducing the risk of illness is easy with a visit to Center Pharmacy or Boscobel Pharmacy. Center and Boscobel Pharmacy are your vaccination headquarters for the flu, pneumonia, and shingles. No appointment needed. The helpful staff will have you in and out in no time, often at no charge with qualifying insurance or Medicare. Don't wait. Get protected today at Center Pharmacy on Orange Street or Boscobel Pharmacy in downtown Boscobel. The Shingrix vaccine is in stock, proven to be 90% effective for the prevention of shingles.
Crashes will happen.
Luckily, there's Bob's Auto Body Collision Specialist in Boscobel. Bob's, with more than 40 years of experience combined with a modern facility, making all the difference for you. And five-star reviews for Bob's repair work ranges from great work done quickly to I wouldn't take my vehicle anywhere else. If you expect quality products and services, you'll want to call Bob's Auto Body Collision Specialist at 608-375-4434 or stop in at Bob's on Highway 61, Boscobel.
Hi, this is Taylor Hefner. Did you know that A-Plus Furniture and Mattress Outlet in downtown Richland Center is locally owned and operated? Stop in today and see my mom or Violet for all your furniture and mattress needs. We offer a variety of recliners, sofas, love seats, dining sets, bedroom sets, adjustable beds, and bedding, all at the lowest prices around. We also deliver, set up, and haul away your old. A-Plus Furniture and Mattress Outlet, located in downtown Richland Center, 475-6090.
Sports Time today is sponsored by Mr. G's Downtown Viroqua and in the Richland Square Shopping Center, your local source for clothes, boots, shoes, and for everything in style you need for work and play. And by the Homesteader Store, Southern Wisconsin's tractor experts. Coming up, a look at some area football teams seeing their first first meeting against another team with scrimmages coming up, and details on a successful last couple of games for the Brewers. Looking for the best in shoes and clothing? Look no further than Mr. G's Shoes and Clothing in Richland Center. Mr. G's has it all, from stylish outfits to durable work boots. Whatever you need, Mr. G's has you covered. Visit them today at 140 Richland Square or give them a call at 647-3543. Mr. G's Shoes and Clothing, where quality meets style.
Choose Mr. G's.
First of all, high school football teams will be scrimmaging around the state tonight. And for River Valley, they'll be home against Cuba City and Poinette. The scrimmage gets underway at 5 o'clock. Lancaster will be the site for Benton, Scalesmount, Scholesburg, and Ithaca, along with the Arrows. Also, Riverdale will be at Mineral Point, featuring Dodgeville and Cambridge. And Richland Center will be at La Crosse Logan. They'll be there along with Aquinas. And that scrimmage gets underway at 4 this afternoon. This week, I talked to Coach Andrew Troxel about the teams and its numbers for Richland Center High School football's levels.
Our numbers are really impressive. You know, I remember back in 2018 when I came to Center, we were around 22, and now I think the current numbers are around 50 or so. So it's really nice to just kind of see the program grow in that capacity. And what that's been really, really good for us is in terms of allowing the younger kids more time to develop. You know, so for a lot of years, right, those younger kids had to kind of service the varsity kids, and they weren't getting a lot of development, you know, and so it took years to kind of develop those kids. But now, these last 2 weeks, it was really great because now the JV kids are working with JV kids at their own talent level, and they're learning so much. And our varsity kids are servicing one another. And so we just feel kind of collectively, I mean, kids are developing faster than what we have had in years past.
That's Coach Andrew Troxel, Richland Center scrimmaging tonight in the La Crosse area. Last night in Home Talent Night League Baseball, it was Verona over Footville 3-1, and Cambridge got the win against Evansville 5-0. The Middleton-Blanchardville and Dodgeville and Jefferson games were postponed. The Dodgeville-Jefferson game will be played Monday night at 7:30. Church League softball last night featuring St. Mary's and Church of the Nazarene, that game has been postponed until tomorrow, and actually take that back, Monday night at 7:30, the Church League Championship game will be played on Tuesday evening. Home Talent Baseball's Final Four round-robin tournament gets underway on Sunday. Sun Prairie plays at Verona and Evansville at Sauk Prairie. The Brewers blew a 3-run lead Thursday afternoon, then rallied to take a 6-4 victory over the Dodgers. That gave Milwaukee a split of the 4-game series. Jackson Chirio and William Contreras homered in a 3-run first inning, but it was a 3-run rally in the bottom of the 8th that powered the win. Brian Hudson got the pitching victory in relief, and Devin Williams nailed down his third save by striking out Mookie Betts and Shohei Ohtani back-to-back. Manager Pat Murphy talked about the win following the game yesterday in Milwaukee.
When you're winning ball games against teams like that, and as a young player, they're proving to themselves, yeah, maybe we are decent. You know, maybe we are. Maybe we can be a little bit uncommon. Maybe we can play a little different. I think when they have a win like this, they feel it. It's not any bigger than the last win or the win 2 weeks ago or whenever, you know, but it's just a little bit of, like, realization. It takes a lot of little things from everybody.
The Brewers start a three-game home series against Cleveland tonight. Aaron Civale will be getting the start. Last night in NFL preseason football, Philadelphia edged New England 14-13. And rookie quarterback Michael Pratt will get more snaps in the Packers preseason game starting Sunday at Denver against the Broncos. Pratt was a seventh-round pick in the 24 NFL draft. He completed 5 of 7 passes in last week's against Cleveland, good for 43 yards. Pratt showed his toughness by throwing a key block on a running play late in the game. He is the record holder at Tulane football for passing yards and touchdowns. That's an update on sports. I'm Phil Nee.
LS tractors are a great tractor at a great price. Hi, I'm Rick from the Homesteader Store. The fastest growing tractor line in Wisconsin is LS Tractor, part of the LG group of companies. These high quality four-wheel drive diesel tractors are one of the best.
Well, let's move to Saturday, and you've got a full day of events beginning right away in the morning, don't you?
So 9 o'clock Saturday morning starts our makers market, vendor market. As of right now, there's 14 vendors that'll be there. That's for anybody to come in, want to buy something. You know, that they've got everything from food to clothing, whatever you can think of. But you usually get like the farmers market type stuff is the same thing they're having there. Our Canoe the Blue event, depending on the weather, tomorrow, the next couple of days, see how much water we get and how bad that is. Hopefully there's no more 4-foot trees in the river. So that'll go right at 9:30. We'll start registration for that. And then Friends of Blue River are sponsoring an open house in the old school on that's on Grant Street there by the community building. And there are a couple speakers there. Mark Cupp will be at 10 a.m. and Ben Moffitt at 10:45. Our beanbag tournament will start around 12:30, which we moved that back years ago. It was a little earlier in the morning, so then people were done for a little later in the afternoon. But with the canoe event, some of the people that were doing the beanbags wanted to do the canoe thing, so they got moved the beanbags back so the canoe thing's done, and then they can go do the beanbags, and it gives them more time to be in the park. And then this year, because of not having high mileage on Friday night, we're having them on Saturday night starting at 8. And because that's going to be going on at 8 o'clock, we moved our tractor pull up. So we're going to start weighing in at 1:30 now for the antiques and start pulling around 2 p.m., hoping to get the tractor pull done a little bit earlier so people can do the tractor pull and the band, and then they're both not going on completely the whole time together. And then our scavenger hunt's 5 o'clock at the gazebo in the park. And like I mentioned, high mileage is 8 p.m. there to midnight.
Very popular band. They drew well last year at Blue River, didn't they?
They did. They drew very well. Friday night, when it was a new thing for us, we really didn't know how to plan for that. We ended up Saturday running to about every place we could find to buy more product to sell. We ran out about 5, 6 o'clock Saturday night, 7 o'clock, and then it was nuts. The amount of people that showed up for Friday night really rivaled what we usually have for a Saturday night. And now having them both together the same night, I'm hoping we don't run out.
That's a good problem to have.
It is a good problem.
Yeah. Oh, that's awesome. So the tractor pull goes down early, and then high mileage won't have to turn up their amps quite as loud. You'll be able to hear them better, right?
Yeah, correct.
And that might give some of your pullers the opportunity to pull during the day and then go somewhere else at night as well.
Correct. So, yes, they will. Yep.
And then the beanbag tournament, I think Greg Kinney's organizing that, but that's a pretty popular event, too.
It is. He usually has quite a crowd for that. They don't I don't normally get over there because I'm usually doing the canoe thing or moving people or something else throughout the day. But yeah, there's usually quite a few teams for that.
Sunday kicks off with Cowboy Church. That's another popular event, isn't it?
It is. And we got Monty Berger again this year for the Cowboy Church. And that starts at 9 o'clock in the park shelter there. I think it usually goes till about 10, and then the line usually comes from there right to the chicken, which that starts at 11. Last year we had some mad people. Quarter after 12, we didn't have any. From 11 to quarter after 12, we sold 600 halves of chicken.
Oh, my goodness.
So this year we have 700 halves of chicken, so we might get to 1230.
Okay.
I'm hoping.
You never know.
You don't know. People come in, and it's that line. Like I say, that line starts when church is done, and it went right till we were sold out, and there were still people standing there wondering what they were supposed to do for lunch. But
so come early, and then you won't be mad.
Correct. Right? Yep. Hopefully, line's not too big. But
when do you start cooking the chicken? That has to be an early morning gig, isn't it?
The guys usually start somewhere between 4 and 5.
Yeah.
Usually get the pit warmed up, and
or just stay up all night. And
some of them do that too.
Do that too. And some pie and ice cream. That's all a part of a small town festival, isn't it?
Yes, it is. And that's actually sponsored by the fire department this year. The Methodist Church ladies were having trouble getting enough pies last year, so they decided that they'd just let it go. And the fire department's actually getting that put together.
Well, let's talk about your Autumn Fest parade next weekend, Justin. Sounds like you've got some really cool things planned.
We do. So our parade theme this year is honoring our past, forging our future. And by honoring our past, our parade marshal this year is Bernie Cooey. He was a 1942 graduate from Blue River. And if everybody does the math there, that puts Bernie at 100 years old. And it just so happens last year we were able to procure our original fire truck, which is 100 years old. And just this May, the fire department was able to purchase a brand new truck. So now we have trucks that are 100 years apart. So we're honoring our past with our old truck that's 100 years old, forging it with our new truck that's 100 years newer. And Bernie's going to be our parade marshal for that.
Is he driving the truck or not?
No. I believe he'll be riding with his son in his convertible, I believe.
Awesome. No, that is just really cool. How well does the old truck run then?
It actually runs really well. It tends to get a little warmer if you're sitting still running, but it does pretty well. It's a treat to drive, but it does run pretty well.
Being the fire chief, that has to kind of, it's just a marvel to look back 100 years, and now you've got a brand new truck, and they're going to be back-to-back in the parade.
Yes, it's quite a deal. And then to be able to get it back, we've known where it's at for 15 years. The gentleman's actually contacted us pretty regularly and kept us up to date on what it looked like and everything, and then one day he decided that he was going to downsize his collection and called and wanted to know if we wanted it back. So,
and where was that located then?
It was southern Texas.
Oh, my goodness. It made it a long way from Blue River, Wisconsin.
It did make it quite a ways. It spent a few years in Prairie du Chien, then ended up in St. Louis, Missouri, and Chicago, Illinois for a little while, and then ended up down there in Texas.
And somebody had to go get it then?
Yep. We had a member that happened to take vacation in Texas that year and said, well, I can just take my truck and trailer with me. So that's what they did.
That worked out well.
Yep.
Brought it back. And so do the hoses work on it and everything then? Or?
No, this is, it's called a chemical engine.
Oh, yeah.
So it's basically baking soda and vinegar added into water. It's what creates your pressure and it just pushes out the hose. The tanks they used acid at the time. They didn't use vinegar. So the tanks are kind of ate up and it's not operable anymore.
Not operable, but runnable. But
it's runnable, and it's all still there. It's all still original.
It's a showpiece.
Yes, it is.
Continuing on Sunday, what are some other events going on Sunday afternoon, Justin?
So our parade starts at 2 o'clock, which has been the great staple there. The Sawdust Money Hunt, which is sponsored again this year by Compeer Financial and Community First Bank. There's quite a bit of change in that sawdust for the kids to dig out. And then the Kitty Tractor Pull, which is sponsored by the Riverdale FFA Club. They do that on the tennis court in the park. And then the firemen will put on our kids' water fights right after the sawdust dig. Once the kids are all done with that and they go down and do their Kitty Tractor Pull, they can come back up the hill and get wet and cool off for the afternoon. And then at 3 o'clock, the Other Brothers Band will start and play to 6.
What are the ages for the kids in the water fights?
All ages.
All ages. Okay.
We've had some adults in it before, but they had some little kids and the adults helped with it. And there'll be somebody standing there. They've got to be able to walk, basically, and they can hold on. It's just a garden hose, so.
Oh, I was going to say, a little less pressure.
Oh, yeah, a lot less pressure.
Oh, that sounds fun. Again, it's going on next weekend. We'll come back and wrap up our conversation in a moment with Justin Degenhardt talking about Blue River Autumn Fest, which is happening next weekend. Justin Degenhardt from the Blue River Fire Department is our guest here today on WRC Radio. Well, the Blue River Autumn Fest, it's a big part of your fire department. I'm guessing just about every member helps out in some way, don't they, Justin?
Yeah, they do. I tell them if you can't make it Friday, Saturday, Sunday for work or for whatever, it starts on Monday. And it goes past Sunday, so there's plenty of time for anybody to come and help. Just come and help. That's the biggest thing. You get just so they make it there at some point in time to help, and it takes all of us.
For setup or cleanup or whatever the case might be.
Yeah, for everything, you know.
Sure.
And, you know, don't just necessarily have to be there to serve or help run something. You just, you know, setting up or taking down, it's quite an ordeal.
Thank you a lot for coming in here today.
Thank you very much, Phil.
You bet. Fire Chief Justin Degenhardt from the Blue River Fire Department. Autumn Fest again is next weekend. Mark that on your calendar. All kinds of great music and food all weekend long. Tom Mueller from Mueller Implement in Dodgeville is our guest here on a Friday from WRCO Radio. So do you have some hot deals to talk about this week?
Yeah, we do, Phil. In fact, we got a good buy on a large contingent of commercial units, and we're offering $1,000 to $2,000 off. That's the range we're in on these. Great time to buy because we actually bought them perfectly at a perfect time, so it gives you a chance to purchase it. We have 0% for 12 months. If you need some financing, that's all that's available on the financing side. But with the extra rebates and everything else, our commercial side is very competitive. In fact, we make everybody look kind of like they're in the dust. And so it's a great time to stop and visit us because not only are we running specials on them, but we also run a lot of specials on our Husky equipment. So all of our handheld Husky line, whether it's saws or weed eaters or blowers, is a minimum of 10% off. So that's really a good program. And we have 0% for 24 months with them. Now, currently, we're running a 5% discount on Aran snowblowers with the exception of a couple models that are higher. We actually have $200 off on one of our models, our most popular models. So if you're looking to save some money on snow throwers, it's a perfect time to stop in. But it just doesn't stop there. We have the ZTXL, which is a very popular unit, 52-inch. It's designed to mow all day. And that special starts at $49.99. You know, Phil, when you buy right, you can sell right. We talk about this a lot, but a lot of people can't play the game, and we recognize that. So in the process of purchasing things, we buy in huge quantities and turn around and quickly pass it on because, of course, it's called cash flow. We want to make sure that our customers get a deal and we can pay our bills. And that's really how we kind of work down here.
That's awesome, Tom. And as you look at the coming days, and I know you mentioned the evil word of snow in there, but there's a lot of yard to be mowed yet, isn't there?
Oh, there sure is. In fact, we're going to see more rain. We're going to see cooler weather. We're going to see a lot of changes. And, of course, because of that, people need to start thinking about fall preparations and all the other things. So start mowing your grass a little higher. That's one of the advices we give you. Be prepared to pick your leaves up. So if you need a bag or anything like that, we have them on hand. If you're looking for a great deal on a UTV right now, we have $1,500 to $2,500 to $100 off, which unheard of. And our UTVs are made by Landmaster. They're very competitively priced, so you're going to find some great deals there. But if you stop at Mueller Ripman, you're going to see Robo One outside. That's a robotic mower that actually mows 2.5 acres every day, mows it four times, and literally runs by itself. We don't tell it what to do. It just does it. We programmed it, and it goes out and does the job. So you want to take a look at that. Now, if you're a contractor, we have 10% off on compactors, and we have 15% off on Husky cement saws, which is the most popular saw in the world. It is basically the K770 and the 790s, so keep that in mind. But better yet, you're better to come here to Dodgeville and get a feel for what we have and understand the volume that we do, and then you'll see why we can do what we're doing. So come to 4948 Highway YZ, right across Midwest Roofing, and of course, those little guys, Farm and Fleet, they're our neighbors, and they're still in business, the lights are on, so they'll be around for a while, and they've got some great deals there, too, so stop and visit them. We're open 7:30 to 5, Monday through Friday, 7:30 to noon on Saturday. And if you go to www.MuellerRental.com, you'll see our internet site with lots of specials in there. Or go to Craigslist and punch in Mueller on the left-hand side, and you'll see some great deals, especially on our used. It's the end of the season sale for all those, so a great time to purchase. But better yet, just simply walk to the door. Get an idea, get a feel of who we are, because we're very, very friendly. We make things happen for you. Everything is ready to go, so you're not going to wait an hour for somebody to assemble.